small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
I'm Mike Siegel.
I'm Kyle Dawson.
And today we are debuting our brand new Shure microphones. And I have to give Mike Siegel, I have to give you all the credit.
Well, thank you.
Because after we got the Bose headphones and we wrapped that up, you were like, now you got to get some new microphones. And I said—
And we needed new mics.
We did need new mics, more than headphones.
Yes.
And I was just like, fuck yeah, we do need new mics. So I want to put a shout out right now to the people at Shure Microphone.
That's S-H-U-R-E for people who are buying microphones.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Their public relations manager is Davita Rockman. And thank you so much, Davita, for helping us achieve these microphones. Also to Ellen Mahan. Those are the two women at Shure that I was in touch with. And they were right on board. They said, no problem. How many do you need? Let's work on some copy together and let's do this.
In fairness, we did say 1,000.
We needed 1,000 microphones. They did not go with that. They said 4 is the most we can do. So
these are gorgeous.
I know.
These really are nice.
They call it the legendary SM7B microphone.
Would you like to hear more about it?
Mike, what I want to do right now is I would like you to lay down a little, because we're going to do this, folks, for the next 16 weeks. You're going to hear us promote these microphones. That's how the trade out works. And Mike, you're going to lay down some corporate copy right now. Let's hear it. Mike Siegel.
This episode of the Rock Solid Podcast is brought to you by Shure, the company behind... take two. Sorry.
And take two it? Go ahead.
Morning. This episode of the Rock Solid Podcast is brought to you by Shure, the company behind some of the world's most iconic microphones, earphones, and audio products, including the legendary SM7B mic that we use to record Rock Solid. The SM7B offers perfect response for music and speech in all professional audio applications. Used to record Michael Jackson's Thriller album, engineers and artists continue to choose the SM7B for warm and rich vocals. And it also shines on just about anything you put it And it also shines on just about anything you put through it, such as guitar, bass, kick drum, horns, and even as a hi-hat mic. For 93 years, Shure has been the go-to company for roadworthy, superior sound. Every member of the Rock Solid Podcast is proud to use the SM7B microphone because we care about bringing our listeners the best sound possible. There you go.
All right.
You can edit that into something. There's a couple of takes.
And you know what? Before you leave here, you're going to lay down a nice one. Just read it line by line. I'll tighten it all up.
I'm a little scratchy first thing.
And I'm going to send it over to our friend Steve O'Dockerson. I'm going to see if he can add some sound effects into it because I think he likes doing that stuff. I could be 100% wrong about that. But I think...
That's a lot. You got to make it fun. You got to break that up because you can't be reading that
every
episode.
I'm going to send
that
to Steve-O. I'm going to send him some notes, what we would like him to do with that. I think he has the capability.
You have the capability.
I don't have.
You just don't want to do it.
Do I have the capability? I don't know if I have the capability to put. I could like you could say it, and then I could put in, and then it would go right back to you, but it wouldn't be like underneath your vocal. I don't know how to do that.
Okay,
well, I could do that.
Oh well, then Steve-O's out. Okay, I'll send it to you.
Or we can do this. We could lay down a scratch track of the copy, mm-hmm. and then send it out to listeners, and whoever makes the best. Well, they make a contest out of it.
They can just pick
almost like artwork.
They
you
can
know?
Just pick it up. Yeah, they can just pull it right out of the shell.
They could.
Okay. Let's see if you guys can do it.
Oh, we'll do it later. Okay, we'll do it after.
But you will lay down a nice
one. We'll lay down a nice one afterwards. That was a warm up.
We'll lay down a nice one. And if people want to do it, I'll send it to them.
Okay.
You go, oh, I'd love to do that. Okay, cool. Good
or
idea.
Or send them the whole copy and let them do it.
No, I think someone that sits at this table should read the copy.
That's cool.
Okay. One more announcement. You know Joey Notes, Joe Van Overberg. He does he does the notes now. What's wrong, Kyle?
There's just like a X-Files character just walking around.
The man in black? The cigarette smoking man is back there?
Do you think I should lock the outside gate?
I don't know what they're doing.
All right. If they come to this door, we're going to have to do something.
Homeless in LA. Why would they come back?
Yeah, why would they come back here? Did you both park out back?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, so we got Joe Van Overberg, Joey Notes. He does our notes. And now we have someone that's going to help Joey. Donna Neal is going to go and do the whole back catalog of notes. She's going to listen to all the old episodes, fill in all the gaps. And I think Donna even told me that she was creating a document of every song we've ever played. So that way you can say Pat's played this Rolling Stone song 7 times.
I know. I've played a lot of stuff over.
So we'll see how many times.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Once that's done, if you want to send that over to us.
Like, yeah, we can post it somewhere.
Or like send it as like a Google sheet or whatever, Google Drive thing that
Google
we can
Doc?
Look up during the record.
Oh, that'd be great.
Live and up to date.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So thank you, Donna. And Joey was right on board with welcoming Donna into the Rock Solid family. So I'm excited to see what you two do. Hey, maybe you guys even hit it off and, have a love connection.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
That'd Wouldn't
be
that
great.
Be cool?
That'd be awesome.
Then they're just working out of their same their house. They move in together and they just do this. 2 desks side by side. Honey, would you like cream in your coffee? I sure would, Joey notes. Boom. They could both be married. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
That would be a sad relationship, too.
And that's
How'd
it.
You meet?
Boy.
Notes.
No, we write notes for a podcast. What's the podcast about?
Never mind.
It's just stupid. Mike, when did you're fresh off the boat.
Fresh off the boat.
How many weeks were you gone?
I was gone 3.5 weeks, which is the longest stretch in one that I've ever done.
Until your next stretch.
Until the other one.
5 weeks.
Yeah, it'll be broken up. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm not going to come back in between. So that will be the longest one. But that's like 3 different boats. And this one was 3 as well.
Do you feel like you're on vacation? Does it feel like
no.
a job? How do you feel when you're out there?
Bored. For the most part.
You're bored.
No, I try to... Actually, I'm more productive there than I am anywhere else because there's just no distractions.
Yeah.
When you don't realize what a huge distraction the internet is until it's taken away. You don't realize how much time you spent just, jerking off, looking around at things and just getting the YouTube hole of like, oh, let's go look up this.
Oh, my God. Look how many Iron Maiden documentaries
yes.
there are.
And then there's no YouTube. There's no streaming of things. So
oh, wow.
No Netflix.
So did you take
so
a bunch
really of... really slow and expensive.
Did you take screeners and stuff
yeah,
with
I
you?
Took a bunch of screeners. I bought a DVD drive
okay.
because new laptops don't have a DVD player anymore. So I took that on and watched a lot of that. I watched...
So 3 days in, you're done watching all your content?
Oh my God. I cut like 8 different travel videos. I did podcasts. I wrote some travel articles for my site.
Do you interview anyone that's on the boat?
I have, yeah.
That sounds like...
A few different cool. entertainers. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get... Like a captain on one, but they're not allowed to talk to people.
Stubing.
Yeah, exactly. But they're all like these old Greek guys, and they could give a... What is this, a radio thing? No.
No, it's not radio, sir. Yeah. Are we live? Are we going out live? No. No. I mean, we're recording it as if it's... Never mind. Well, welcome back. That's why we're actually recording 2 back-to-back with you. They won't drop back-to-back, but this is the first one that'll drop. This is the one I coerced you into doing. This is the Rolling Stones... 80 to 89.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first thing, Stones were super productive in the 80s. The Stones released 5 albums. Mick released 2 studio albums. And Keith released his first ever studio
yes.
album. That's, if you were a Stones fan in the 80s, that's 8
that's
albums.
A lot of product.
That's a lot of product out there.
I will say I do owe you a bit of an apology because I shit on this idea for a while
yeah.
because I was not looking forward to going through their 80s catalog. But going, I hadn't heard it in a while,
yeah,
and going back
on
it, there's some good stuff on there.
Yeah, and I mean, it's of the time. But
there's some shit.
But it's still the Stones. Yeah, there's some crap.
But there is some good stuff. So I enjoyed it more going back.
Oh, good.
And revisiting again.
Well, I'm excited. So also the artwork, I think Glenn K. Amo has done all of the Rolling Stones artwork for us for these 3 episodes. So I want to give a shout out to Glenn. And then, Kyle, you'll have to let us know what you think of the cover artwork. That seems to be your new job. You talk about the cover artwork.
Yeah.
So let's hit Mike. I'll
the one
you,
that none of the listeners can't see.
But then they like go,
they can look it up, yeah.
Yeah, and Kyle describes it. He's very good. Paints a picture for sure. All right, so let's do it. We're going to go 1980.
Okay, well, let's set the stage here. They're coming off Some Girls,
yep.
which is 78. And that was the first full album with Ronnie Wood.
Ronnie Wood. Well, no, Black and Blue was.
Well, he was only on like a couple songs, right?
No, he's on the cover. I mean,
he wasn't officially a member.
Okay. I don't think he's still a member.
Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah. But that was considered kind of a comeback because
yes,
that was a
big
hit.
Yeah.
And so now you got the 1980, disco is happening and all this stuff, and they really kind of embrace dance music.
And this, whenever a band has a gigantic album like Some Girls, the follow-up always feels to me like it's the sophomore effort.
Yeah.
They're following up. And yet, I love Emotional Rescue. I really love this album, top to bottom. I've said it many times on here, but I'm going to let you start. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm going to play one of my favorite songs from it. This is Let Me Go. I just like the opening from it. It's very Stones.
This album is produced by the Glimmer Twins, which are Mick and
Keith.
But no other help, just those two. That also was one of the songs I picked.
Oh, yeah?
Let Me Go. I love it.
Love that one.
So I'm going to jump to, for my first pick on this one, because I told you to pick two off each album. So I picked...
Did you say two? Because I brought up way more.
That's fine. That's fine, because we already had a crossover, so
yeah,
we're going to need
this. Doubled up.
So my other one is... wow, can't even talk. Mm-hmm. Summer Romance.
See, we brought stuff that I brought. Sometimes I brought things that I don't like on the album. This one I didn't bring.
Like a Siegel Stinkeroo?
Yeah,
maybe?
Well, not other people might like it. All right. But like the dance stuff on this one I didn't really like. Like Emotional Rescue, the title song, and then Dance. Is it Dance Part 1?
Yeah, I'm
that's stuff I just didn't connect with.
I'm just okay on that. But I would say...
It sounded like them trying hard to be cool.
This has 10 songs on it, and I'm going to say that I do like... I think I like 9 of the 10. I think Dance Part 1 is the only one that I don't really care for.
Right.
Like, I love Indian Girl. I love She's So Cold.
I brought She's So Cold, so I don't know if I should play the one that I like or give an example of one of why this album is...
I think you can play them both because I don't have any more to play.
Okay. I didn't bring a Dance
All right.
Part 1.
But. If you would have, that would have been a stinkeroo, maybe. It's not a stinkeroo. You just don't like it.
It didn't sound like them to me. It sounded like them trying to latch onto the disco thing. And, you know, I think Mick really liked it.
Yeah. And Keith, didn't care
right.
for it. But this album was also released in June of 1980. So this was like, for me, this just sounds like summer, this whole album.
Really I do remember hearing Emotional Rescue by the pool all summer.
Absolutely. All summer. So what's your next song?
I brought She's So Cold. Right. This is one I like.
This album also has really crisp, shiny production.
Yeah.
But I love it. I mean, I kind of like hearing I can hear the bass, I can hear the drums, the vocals, the guitar. Everything is just crisp and clean. That's what I like.
How did this do compared to Some Girls and then the follow-up, the one after this, Tattoo You?
You mean sales?
I mean sales-wise.
Let me look it up. There's a way to look it up, and I'm doing it right now.
Because I was wondering how their popularity was doing.
Some Girls went 6 times platinum. Emotional Rescue went 2 times platinum, but then Tattoo You
right.
went 4 times platinum. So
that's what I mean. This is like the little dip in between those two.
Yeah, even though I really enjoy it.
Do you like, you don't like this better than the next one we're playing, Tattoo You? Do you like this better than Some Girls? He's thinking
I don't know why I connect with this album so much. I don't think it's better than the other two, but I might like it better than the other two.
I think it just hit you at the right age.
Hit me at the right age.
Like you were too young for the other one, and you were in a Cheap Trick by the time the next one came out.
Yeah, whatever reason, this one really, really grabs me. Kyle, you want to talk about the artwork real quick?
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, this cover doesn't seem to.
It's like,
I liked the, because the Some Girls cover was cool, Warhol kind of thing.
Yep.
This is long before Photoshop, but it's like when you have an intro to Photoshop class and they're like, use four different filters on one picture. Because there's like a, is this the band? Like, I don't even know what those top two.
These are called thermo shots.
Great.
You know what I mean? Like you see it a lot in you see it a lot like in a
Predator.
Movie. Yeah, like Predator, yeah. When they're trying to track
an MRI,
it's black
like a baby's,
So now this came with a poster that wrapped around the album. It was around the album, then you would take the poster off, and then this is what was underneath. And then the poster was just a gigantic thermo shot of all the band members. Mick had a beard in some. Yeah, it's pretty wild. But you do not like
him at
this.
The top, because it looks like Dr. Zaius with like the
that's him.
The sunglasses from Back to the Future.
Yeah,
too.
That's Mick at the top. That's Ronnie bottom left. I think it's Ronnie on both shots on the bottom, which is very strange. But it's just
the fact that I didn't remember this album means that I didn't connect with it.
There's no rhyme or reason to the album cover.
Yeah,
Emotional Rescue. It doesn't really go with the title.
No.
Like if it was called Heat Wave or something, maybe.
Yes.
You know, what's your? I don't have any more songs because
that's all I brought from that one.
I thought you brought one more.
No, I brought two from that one, and then I got a million from Tattoo You.
Tattoo You is great.
This is what I was interested to learn doing a little homework for this, that Tattoo You was mostly old outtakes.
Yeah, it wasn't like a new...
No.
It wasn't like they wrote all these songs at the same time and went in.
And it came out right at 81, so after a year later.
Yep, a year later, August 81.
So I think they had a tour planned or something and they wanted a tour behind a new album and not the other one.
And this was a gigantic tour.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they just pulled old outtakes and I don't know if they were out of... just like creatively burned out or whatever, but they just pulled all this stuff, but it was great.
Yeah. Like according to Wikipedia, it says these songs were recorded November to December, 72, January to March, 75, January to March, 78, January to October, 79. I mean, who has these great songs? We didn't use those. Well, let's use them now.
Yeah. They're in the closet. Some guy found them. What producer? Did they produce them themselves? No, somebody else did. I think
this was the Glimmer Twins.
Oh, they did. Okay. Yep. So I'm going to put this opinion out there that other people have, but you might argue is this their last great album? I say yes.
Well, I really love Voodoo Lounge from 1994.
Okay. Well, you're the only one.
I think that's a great album, but
I won't be doing the 90s. Will you?
You will be. Because we're going to call it the Rolling Stones and beyond.
Oh.
Who else is going to do it?
Beyond the shit pile.
I'm gonna
beyond the fun.
I'm going to start it off.
Now you did say all that about the 80s and did enjoy some.
I did.
That's
true.
But
I don't want to relive. Oh, man. I don't want to relive the
90s. You're on the boat with nothing to do.
That's true.
It might lull you to sleep.
That'll kill it afternoon.
Yeah, that'll kill an afternoon easily.
Oh, wasted day.
Is that when you did
the treadmill listening to Voodoo Lounge?
Is that when you listened to this music when you were on the boat?
Yeah.
Because I sent it all to you, so you didn't have
I made sure to bring it because that I had time to go through it and...
And
listen,
this is all the most recently remastered versions of all these too. You can always guarantee that I'll have wasted my money on that buying.
I thought it sounded particularly clear.
Emotional Rescue for the 17,000th time. Okay, I'm going to start off Tattoo You, and I'm going to start off with a song called Neighbors. Kyle, on the recording, who's highlighted? Who can you see?
Oh, Mike.
Mike is. And we're recording.
Yeah.
The mics are picking up.
Yes.
The mic is picking up Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You were laughing at that song. You didn't like the song Neighbors?
Oh, it sounded like, if it were on Sesame Street, it'd be fine. Like Telly and them were singing it. Like the monsters.
All right, Mike, what do you got to start us out?
Are
you going to start me up?
I'm going to start you up, buddy. This starts the album, right?
Yeah, the first two songs
are
killer.
It's a killer way to start the album.
Start Me Up.
And everybody knows it.
And then Hang Fire. It's crazy.
Iconic.
It is iconic.
This was sitting in a bin. This was sitting in a bin. Hey, should we pull this out? Yes!
Lots of guests on this album: Nicky Hopkins, Ian Stewart, Billy Preston, Pete Townsend, Sonny Rollins. Now, also, here's how you know these are older songs.
Oh, because Mick Taylor sued them because he had written something 10 years earlier. Yeah, Waiting on a Friend or something?
He's credited with electric guitar on Waiting on a Friend and on a song called Tops, which I'm going to play next.
And Mick Taylor left the band in 75.
Yeah.
That was 6 years earlier.
So let's hear Tops. Hi.
First off, here's my question about this album. Does it flow together? Like, if you listen to it top to bottom, is it?
I think it does.
Because everything's recorded at different times.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like, when there's multiple producers on an album, sometimes that doesn't flow. Yeah, I think it does flow.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like the songs weren't recorded at the same time.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
All right, just asking.
That's okay. That's a fine question.
Is Tops?
Tops, please.
Every man is the same, come on, I'll make you a star. I'll take you a million miles from all this, but you want a better star. Come on, come on. Have you ever heard those opening lines? You should leave.
Also, Ron Wood plays bass on Hang Fire. Keith Richards plays bass on a song.
Is Bill Wyman taking a vacation?
I guess whoever shows up at the studio, you know, if they need a bass track at the time.
I played bass on that in 68. I don't need to come back and redo it.
So yeah, when you read the credits, it's all over the board, but the album does flow and sounds like, at the time, I don't think anyone knew that this wasn't an all original album.
Yeah, I know. I found that out doing research for this. I had no idea.
That's how bored you are on the
That's
boat.
How bored I was. But if there's one song that sounds kind of like just a groove that's not finished,
mm-hmm.
it's the one I'm playing next. But it goes on for 6.5 minutes, but yet I like it.
Oh, Slave.
Yeah.
I love it
too. Just one, it doesn't go anywhere. It's just a constant, the same riff over and over, but I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
But so let's play Slave. And it's basically that.
Yeah, it's basically that.
There's no like huge like verses or chorus. That was just it. So it's just like, hey, I got this riff, this groove. Yeah. You want? Yeah, just put it down.
And that's the third song on the album, which is very ballsy. You would think that would be deep on the second side, but it's not.
So that's the only one to me sounds like, hey, we just had this groove and just put it out there.
And I got one more because I want to give Keith some love on lead vocals.
Little TNA?
Little TNA.
Okay, good.
And again, this is the album. Start Me Up, then Hang Fire, then Slave, and then boom, Little TNA. And this is the one Keith plays bass on. good tune.
Awesome. You brought that one. We doubled on that one.
Kai, you want to weigh on the album cover artwork?
Yeah, I don't mind this one. I like the font.
Were there different ones? There was Mick, and then there was also Keith's face, right?
Keith is on the back of the album.
That's right.
Keith is on the back. And yeah, that is Mick. Even though it doesn't, you really have to look closely to see that it's Mick, because it's like the eyes are like womanly.
I do remember just seeing that poster plastered around the city, and they really promoted the hell out of this
and
album.
And then the inner sleeve has a high heel with, I think, like a goat's foot, some animal's foot in the high heel.
It's a hoof?
A hoof, yes. You looking that up?
It could be Keith's foot.
What if you look that up and that becomes your sexual fetish? You love to see hoofs in high heels.
What do you find out that's actually Charlie Watts' foot? That's his real foot.
Oh. All right. Are we moving on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay, so now we move on. So it's 2 years between albums because they tour massively with this. Mm-hmm. I remember when they came to Philadelphia, a bunch of people from my high school went, and I think it was the Rolling Stones, Journey, and Santana.
Oh, that's a nice show.
The kids at school said Journey got booed off the stage. And that was at the height of Journey. That was Escape era Journey.
When the lights boo!
Little TNA. All right, so here we go. This album is Undercover.
I think the
sales dip, but still is a platinum album, but it dips.
But now MTV has happened.
MTV is happening. Like, oh, by the way, speaking of MTV, the Rolling Stones are the worst lip syncers ever.
Oh, yes.
Like, Charlie's not even hitting it's not even close. It's not even, for Start
Bill
Me
Bill Wyman's
up,
always in a chair. He doesn't care.
Start Me Up and Hang Fire, it's a disaster. I mean, it's crazy. But we watched it and thought it was great.
But the first one of the videos I remember them playing was this She Was Hot one. I remember the woman in it. Because it's the same woman who ends up being, I think she's in Ruthless People, who we're going to get to later.
Yeah.
But she's like a big-chested redhead.
Yeah.
He chases her around. But that's the song I brought anyway. So want to play that one? That's one of the ones I...
So funny. They have She's So Cold and they have She Was Hot. Which one do you like better?
You know, with this one, I'm not a huge fan of this album, but this song I really like.
I like this song too.
She Was Hot.
So bright. Ooh, the sheets feel cold and lonely. Who wants to break the pouring rain for a glass of French champagne? Well, grab a cap, baby, come right by. She was hot as she kissed my mouth.
She was hot
as a wipe to brow.
She was hot.
She pinned me to the ground.
She was hot.
The actress is Anita Morris.
Yes.
The actress. And she was hot.
Yes, she was
hot. I think she's passed. Rock
yes,
and peace,
I think so.
Anita Morris.
But this one, you got to think about what's happening now. I think they're all about turning 40 right around now.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
And they're looking at the business and this MTV monster. I think Mick loves videos because he's, he's a ham.
Yeah.
But the other guys, I bet... And
hated it. Just waiting.
Charlie Watts hates everything about it.
Yes.
You know he does. Yes. Bill Wyman could care less. And Mick, I'm sure Keith could care less. You know what I mean?
Yep. And this, and they had a, and
but huge, they, now they got to do it.
And huge production values, because Undercover the Night was a gigantic production values on that thing.
And they're seeing their album sales dip a little with this.
Yes. Yeah,
and so they got to be thinking, maybe we're past our prime.
Maybe
it was a good run. Know what I mean?
We have videos on MTV now and our album sales are dipping.
Right.
So the videos aren't
We can't compete
working.
With Cyndi Lauper. You know what I mean?
And the thing is that this Undercover's, I give it, it has 10 songs. I think I like 7 of the songs. There's 3 songs I don't care for. So I'd have to give it a 7 out of 10. I know a lot of people don't like this album at all.
Yeah. I mean, the critics came after him on this one.
Yeah,
right?
On this one. So I want to play... Let's hear all the way down.
I was 21, naive, not cynical, I tried to please. Her wit, speech, her repartee impressed me almost instantly. She ran all the way down.
See, that one I even forgot about. You know what I mean?
That one reminds me of one that would be on Emotional Rescue, which I love so much. But
yeah, and I remember from Keith's book, this was the start where he and Mick were really starting to butt heads.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were just not liking each other.
And that's going to lead to what we play next.
Yes.
What other song do you have?
I'm going to give Keith some love with Wanna Hold You. And I bet Mick wasn't even around the week they played them.
No. It's always fun when they let Keith sing one or two songs on the album.
Now, had Mick already come in? I mean, this is when he had started, I think, making noises about doing a solo album or something. When did he make the deal? That's what I couldn't remember.
He probably made the deal before.
Yeah.
And then they found out about it. You made a solo deal. Right?
And Keith is always the Stones first.
Yes.
He hates it when anybody strays doing anything.
Yeah, why would you take a good song and not give it to the Stones?
Right. And so he was looking
When Keith does his first solo album, it's only because he's kind of, his hand is forced.
Yeah, and he's mad at Mick. We'll play that later.
Yeah, we'll wait for that later. I got one more song off of Undercover, and then Kyle can talk about the artwork. I have a song called Too Tough.
Oh, I brought that one too.
Oh, okay, cool. It must be a good one.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to play it from Mike's because it's not on your list.
Sorry.
Ooh.
Now that could be an old Stone song.
Yeah, I like it.
That one I like.
I like it a lot.
So now, you want to talk about the artwork? The cover, I don't like.
You know, a bunch of old people in a room were like, what do kids like?
Girls. They like naked women.
Yeah, it's just like a naked woman, but with stickers just put over.
She's undercover.
Put over.
It's like they kept the promo stickers.
Yeah, her private parts.
But then there are other stickers just randomly strewn about.
When I bought the album, I thought the stickers were on the outside, and when I removed the plastic, we were going to get some action. Nope. On the back, there's a bare butt, and I think there's a sticker over the bare butt, too.
Right.
Wonder who the model is on that. Do we know? Is it Mick? That would have been cool. You removed it, and it's not a woman at all. It's a dude.
Right.
You were tricked.
Thai style.
You would know, Mike.
Yes,
you've been there.
That's true.
You know. You've seen the Thai.
You never know.
All right. We're going to go 2 years later. Mick releases.
No. Well, I have something in between.
Oh, yes, you do.
And,
I didn't bring this.
The biggest star on the planet at this time is one Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an ill-advised
meeting. Do you know Michael Jackson recorded the Thriller album with this very mic that we're using today, the SM7B?
Are you talking about these beautiful microphones that we're enjoying on these tables right now?
These are legendary.
These are legendary.
These are legendary microphones.
I heard Michael Jackson recorded Thriller.
So what do you got? I know what you got. So let's hear it. I like this song.
Well, this is where you and I differ.
Well,
this
now,
is where I play an intro to something
It's on the desktop. I actually put it on the desktop so you could drag it in wherever you need it.
That I think they may have taken 5 minutes to come up with a lyric.
No, look, when you play this, I might hate it, but in my mind, I feel I love it.
This has not stood the test of time. This is off the Jackson's, I believe, Victory album.
Did you find what I'm talking about on the desktop?
Where not only Mick wanted to capitalize on Michael Jackson's success, but his brothers, the fellow Jackson, said, Michael, you got to come back with us, and we got to make a gigantic tour, and we got to slap together an album.
The Victory Album.
The Victory Album and tour. And then we got to do a Pepsi ad where your hair catches on fire.
The Victory Album and tour was indeed torture. Yeah. Which is a song from the Victory Album.
But this is the collaboration or collabo. No, that's not a
collabo. That's my he's my favorite clown though in Ringling Brothers. Collabo the clown.
Mick and the Jacksons with State of Shock.
And there's a little intro before this song from you.
Yes.
All right, there
let's
is.
Let's hear it. Let's go with it.
It's a seagull stinkaroo.
What? Just like you should, right?
Like you know you should.
Oh, I didn't see that coming. That lyric.
Get me on my knees.
Please? Can we say please?
Please,
yes.
Please.
Hey, what do you say?
Listen. She looks so great. Every time I see your face, you put me in a state. A state of shock.
Oh.
How far up the charts did that go, I wonder?
We can find out, can't we?
Are you looking it up, Kyle?
Yeah, I'll look it up.
Well, they couldn't have taken more than 5 minutes to write.
I have to agree. When I hear a song for the first time and I know what the lyrics are before they say.
Knees, please.
That's pretty bad.
That's really bad. I told you, and you liked it.
You ruined my childhood memory.
This was covered by Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, I bet that's good.
It's probably terrible.
How high did it get?
It was number 3 of the U.S. Billboard Hot 100.
That's pretty high.
Do you think they were even in the same building recording it, or did they come in just try to outdance each other in the studio?
I feel like they probably wanted to meet each other.
Yeah.
So maybe they were.
Wonder if this was an afterthought.
The other Jacksons weren't there.
No, no.
They were the ones that weren't allowed to be in the room with Michael.
Right.
Do you want to hear
the Insane Clown Posse?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, why not?
This is from their album Covered, Smothered, and Chunked.
Oh,
no, I feel like Seagull Stinkaroo should be played before it.
You're so fine.
Sounds the same.
Yeah. They got a rap in it somewhere, right?
It makes me wild. You take it to me good. You petrify my wood.
Something about his wood?
What?
Yeah. I thought there was going to be a rap. No, it's
no,
just
they
it's
changed.
The same.
They added some sexy wood lyric.
Oh.
Great.
Probably said, on my fucking wood, which is not any worse than the real lyrics, to be honest. Kyle,
that
who?
Does not
Kelly
stand
Clarkson
the test of time.
And Robin Thicke have covered the song as well.
Oh.
Together?
Yeah.
And who's more cool than those two?
Do you have those?
Let me see.
Oh. So bad.
Look what you did, Mike. You brought a whole...
Even Michael Jackson's Midas touch couldn't save that one.
Mm-mm.
At the time. Because anything he touched at the time went, you know... I know there's a video. I know.
I like your style. It makes me wild.
So this is Robin Thicke and Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah. You like it, no, you should.
I don't think they're in the same room either.
It's live.
This is from the duets show.
Okay. Why didn't they do Islands in the Stream? Like Kenny and Dolly. Why do they have to do this?
Terrible.
Pretty bad. All right.
Mick. So Mick, you know, Keith must have been laughing his ass off listening to that.
Yes, he's behind closed doors.
He's on his island in Jamaica going, oh my God,
maybe
what is he
mix,
doing?
Maybe to mix face even. He said, that's shite.
So I'm slightly confused. So it's just Mick Jagger was just on the song or he helped write it too? Or
I don't know. Aren't you?
Who wants to take credit for that gem? Who's going to take writing credit?
Michael Jackson and Randy Hansen wrote it. Okay, so.
Oh, sure. Randy Hansen.
Yeah, we know Randy from all
from
his
the Hansons.
From all his writing credits.
Bop.
He doesn't even have a link that I can click on Wikipedia. So yeah. He doesn't have any other.
Was he the guy sweeping up in the hallway of the studio?
Hey, why don't you say please, please, please?
Does anyone know what rhymes with knees?
Please. Please.
And he's just at that time, he said, could you please step aside because I'm mopping here?
Put down that mop and pick up a pen.
You got something. All right. 1985, Mick signs a solo deal with Columbia Records. He's not even, it's a different record label because the Stones were on Virgin, I think.
Yeah.
And he records.
She's the Boss.
She's the Boss. Now.
Now, this didn't go that high, did it?
Well, it went platinum. Well, so he sold as many albums solo as the Stones just did with Undercover.
It did. It beat Undercover, or
they both
about the
went.
Same?
They both went platinum. I don't know chart wise.
Okay, it couldn't have gone as high as Undercover.
I mean, it's Mick's first solo album, so I mean, did people? I don't know. I don't know where chart. I mean, we guess we could.
There wasn't a clear hit out of it, like a single. I mean, there was some singles, but none of those really busted through.
No, not really.
It says here that Just Another Night was the went to number 12 on the Billboard Hot 100.
All right. That's not terrible.
But it really, he embraced really 80s production.
He did.
And that got to me.
And this is, he produces with Nile Rodgers and Bill Laswell on this album.
There are a million people on this
There's
album.
There's a million, everyone's on this album. And I want to play the opening track, which features amazing guitar by Jeff Beck. And it's actually written by Mick and Keith. And this would have been a great Stone song. I love this song just on its own. This is called Lonely at the Top.
I brought that one. Still, there's just some 80s synth in there, this synthesizer in there that
we have Jeff Beck is playing that lead guitar. Pete Townsend's on guitar on that song. Michael Shreve from Santana, yeah. The original Santana drummer, he's playing drums on that song. So yeah, I do like that song. And again, written by Mick and Keith, so that would have been a great Stone song.
Yeah, but with all due respect to Michael Shreve, that sounded like it could have been a drum machine as well.
Well, yeah. You know? Sure.
He's hitting it hard like a Kenny Aronoff snare.
Yeah,
didn't it sound like?
Oh
it?
Yeah, it did. It did, especially through these fantastic headphones.
These fantastic headphones and
these microphones, unbelievable. All the equipment here. The only thing lacking is our producer. What do you think of this album cover?
This one's fine.
He's lying in a bed with a
and the hot chick is getting and he's just looking like he's a sex slave. She's the boss.
I brought one I liked. This is, you may have brought this one too, Turn the Girl Loose.
I did not bring, we also have to say that this had a long form video that featured every song in it, and Ray Don Chong was his muse in the video.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's not great. And when I say not great, I mean good. I mean, anything like that was released that hasn't been like re-released on DVD or Blu-ray.
There's a reason. They're not popular.
Yeah, it's not working. But okay, Turn the Girl Loose.
Turn the Girl Loose.
Yeah.
kind of also brought that as an example of just so 80s.
You're so
80s. It's so 80s.
That's got Lenny Pickett. He plays baritone sax somewhere in that song. It's got Herbie Hancock on the organ, Bernard Edwards on the bass. Yeah, I mean.
Do you have another one? Because I brought one where Mick is just weird. that I just couldn't get into.
Yeah, I have two more. Okay. I have.
Okay, play yours.
I have Half a Loaf.
Oh, right. Okay. I saw the video on that one.
Yeah.
I was looking for it. Half
a dream, half a life. Heaven, I don't know how. It's that synthesizer.
Now, drums on that song, Steve Ferroni, who's in Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Oh, okay.
He's been their drummer now for years.
Oh, after Stan Lynch?
After Stan Lynch, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Bernard Edwards on bass. That was the rhythm section, Bernard Edwards and Steve Ferroni. But yeah, it's...
Well, of course, he can get the best players. I mean, he's...
I know, and he calls any of these guys up. I'm making a solo, and they're like, yeah, I'll come down and play on your solo.
I'm going to be the new Keith.
Do those guys get paid? Do guys like that get... Like
a piece of the royalties, you mean? If they wrote.
Is there a session fee? I mean, how do, I don't even know how that works.
Well, they could do you a favor.
Yeah,
I mean, like, Jeff Beck's not going to come in for...
No, I don't think Jeff Beck's coming in for free.
No.
Townsend might, though.
This is a favor.
Yeah.
Sure. But, I mean, the other players, yeah, they got paid probably a lot.
All right, cool.
So the movie is called Running Out of Luck.
Yes.
1987. Here, do you want to hear the synopsis?
Sure, I do, Kyle.
A rock singer goes to Brazil to shoot a video.
No, wait. Already, he's broken away from what he normally does.
Yeah.
It's nothing at all like
digging
he does.
Deep.
Digging deep.
But winds up getting kidnapped and turned into an oversexed owner of a banana plantation. turned over to the oversexed owner, so he doesn't own it. But
what does Ray Don Chong do? What is her part in there?
She's credited as Slave Girl.
Oh,
wow. Holy crap.
Mick is credited as Mick. Dennis Hopper plays the video director.
Oh, Hopper was out of his mind.
Who directed the whole thing? Was it Julian Temple?
Yes, it was.
I knew it.
Jerry Hall plays herself.
Because they were dating at that time. They weren't married yet.
I got to tell you what, I never found Jerry Hall attractive.
Me either.
Never. But Ray Don Chong...
I did like Ray Don.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Do I love it. And that's Tommy Chong's daughter,
yeah.
By the way.
Kyle. Oh, okay.
But must look more like the mom, for sure.
Oh, yeah. She's in Commando. Sure.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
And disappeared quickly.
Yeah, so sad.
After I really like her.
She's in Soul Man, too, with C. Thomas Howe. I think they dated for a while until she found out he wasn't really black. Okay.
I brought a weird one from him, and this is...
We're digging deep into She's Mick, the Boss.
Mick has a habit of like speaking weird or pronouncing things weirdly.
Yes.
And this one, I like laughed out loud when I heard him pronounce some of these things. This is from Hard Woman. And he just...
I played this song.
It's a ballad and he just sounds weird.
I played this song before and I think Kyle and Murray just hated it too with a passion.
I don't know why he does this, but just listen to him. I've got to let her go. Got to say goodbye. How can I say goodbye to my baby? To my baby. Tough cookie, hard to live. I got to say goodbye. Yeah. All right, that's enough. To my baby.
It's like he's like trying to scat or something, like, or like kind of have that like soulful.
I took a speech class when I was in college. I forget what it was called, but
how to talk correctly.
The guy hated rock music because he said he hates when someone takes a word and stretches it like my baby. Yeah. Like, he's like, that's not how people. I'm like, but you can't really.
No, it's music. I mean, nobody.
I hated that class and that guy.
Although I thought he was like most. British acts have said this. Like, people just adopt kind of naturally a Southern accent when they sing.
Yeah,
rock music. Well, Mick, just because most of it came from there.
Mick has there's falsetto Mick.
Yeah,
there's country Mick who sings with the country accent.
Yeah, there's jazz scat Mick.
Was your class in a Twisted Sister video? What was that? How did that come up? The guy was like, I
"What
hate
do you
want to
do
music.
With your life? Like, do you want to speak correctly?"
Let's just hear a little of "Just Another Night" because I really do love the song. Did I keep it on my list or did I remove
it? It's there.
Okay.
And this was the single, right?
Yes. Yeah, like he says, so are you.
Yeah.
So are you.
But so he always did that, but it just seems overly pronounced and annoying there.
Is Mick Jagger a good vocalist? Or is he good for the Stones?
I mean, he's a great front man. Like, he's one of the best ever.
Like, I do like his voice, but if you ask me if he was a good vocalist, I mean, but sometimes, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He's built for live performance and not so much the studio. I mean, he's not a crooner.
No. But just vocally. But I love his voice, so I guess that's a weird question to ask. And
yeah, if you think of, he can go over the top.
And you think of Angie. Sorry,
Angie.
Kyle. Well, that's true. Sorry, Kyle. That's your ex-fiance.
That's fine.
It's your first fiance.
My first fiance.
You got time to have a few more, by the way.
See, now, you've never been engaged, Mike.
I've never been engaged.
If you want to buy Running Out of Luck on VHS on Amazon,
and do we ever?
How much is it?
It's used from $15.99.
Okay.
New $134.99.
No one's buying that.
Is it a full? Is it an hour and a half? Is it an hour?
It's about 96 minutes.
But then holy crap!
There's not. You know what? Next time you're at Amoeba, look for that.
Oh, it's 90 minutes.
Next time you're at Amoeba, look for that on VHS. But here's the thing: you can't even really watch a VHS tape on these new flat screen TVs, right?
Even if you can hook up the.
It just doesn't look good.
It's not calibrated for that.
For that.
And it's actually better if you got an old TV and watched it on there. It would look better than this.
Right, yeah.
I guess you could, Chip Chinnery has he can digitize a tape at his house.
Also, or you say we should bootleg these?
Oh, yeah.
I used to do it. I did that with my old, when I moved a couple times ago. Over the last move I did, I was like, I had VHS tapes. And I still had an old VCR camcorder, and would run it through the camcorder to digital audio, digital tape, the mini DV tape.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's how I would preserve it. And then I would take the mini DVs to like a transfer house.
Yes.
And they put it on files. But what a hassle.
I had a bunch of concerts in a box, like from MTV and stuff, that were all recorded on VHS. And I looked at them like, okay, when was the last time I watched these? I haven't watched these for 8 years. Am I going to transfer these to DVD?
Dump them.
Probably not. And then
they're on YouTube.
And then I'm like, and if I did what I want, so I just, the whole box right in the trash.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I hope you recycled a little bit.
Probably in the blue bin. Probably went in the blue bin. Okay, let's move on from Mick. We spent a lot of time on Mick, but the following year, 1986, the Stones reconvene. They're now on Columbia Records also. And they record what, in my opinion, is their second worst album. Because I think their worst album is still, this is one I don't even own, their Satanic Majesty's
Request. Oh yeah, that's just a, you know, there's LSD trip.
I think I like three songs on it. Yeah. And I find it to be so unlistenable.
But this was the one album I was not looking forward to going back and listening to.
Well,
it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
What about that album cover, Kyle?
The cover gets a lot of stick. And it's just them. If we describe it, like, but they're wearing the 80s day glow
pastel colors.
Yeah.
Charlie, you can see
Charlie look angry.
Yeah. Charlie isn't even looking. He's just looking down. He's asleep. He could possibly be asleep. Keith,
it's
right.
So
in,
80s.
Keith right in the middle. I know it just, it doesn't read to, now. If that was a Rod Stewart album cover, perfect.
Yes.
It almost looks like an album cover that would be in Spinal Tap.
Right. Yeah.
It looks like the cast of Friends sprawled out. Yeah. You know what I mean? But they,
and they're on like a piece of a couch.
Yeah, not it's even, like it's like a sectional. Yeah,
an aquamarine couch.
It's just, I don't know, man.
Looks like they were in Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Now, the story behind it was there. Were they contractually obligated to make another album? Because I'm surprised they got together at all.
Well, they're on a new label now, so this was
a
new contract. Yeah,
because Mick, I mean, is off doing his solo thing. Keith has gotten hating Mick, and now they got to get back and write together.
Yeah, this is their first studio album to ever contain a lyric sheet in the U.S.
Mm. Thank God.
So people had to read all those bad lyrics. You know, I would really like to know exactly what they're saying on the song Back to Zero.
Oh, God. Did you bring that one?
I don't think I did.
Oh, that one's bad.
Okay, what do you got
that
for
was
us?
Okay, I have one that I actually kind of liked. I think this is the first single, One Hit to the Body.
Yep.
This one I kind of like. This sounds very Stones to me. And when you pair this next to the solo mix stuff, it's like, oh yeah, I know why Keith is needed. Because like, thank God he brought that guitar and it's less synthesizer and all this stuff. So this is One Hit to the Body.
And I do want to say that I put out to the listeners if they wanted us to play a song to let us know. And Michael Mariano also picked One Hit to the Body. And he said, what did he say? The 80s is the only time I saw them in concert. So that era has a place in my heart. One Hit to the Body is one of their best rock songs ever. So that's my request. And I do think this is an amazing song.
When you love me, I'm one shot when you leave.
Yeah, that kicks the album off on a high note.
Like, and after you just sat through Mick's solo album, you just go,
I'm glad
they're back. And then the album just kind of...
Yeah, I mean, the first single, I didn't bring it, but it was a cover tune. And the Stones...
Harlem Shuffle. I hated that song.
And the Stones don't need to do a cover song.
No. Well, this is the thing. They weren't hanging out. They probably weren't... They didn't write, you know. I think they wanted to get through it.
Did that have a dancing cat in it, I think?
Yeah, something like that. It
wasn't Scat Cat like in Paul Abdul, but it might as well have been.
It might as well have been.
Also, that works for her.
Yeah.
That video was uncomfortable. You know, just like no one looked like they wanted to be there.
Oh, yeah, this looks like it's from like, what's that movie? Cool World or whatever?
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Yeah, it is.
Also,
it's not good. I
need to tell you that Jimmy Page plays electric guitar on One Hit to the Body. I don't know where. I don't know. I can't. How many guitars do you need on one song? But he's in there.
That just must have been one tense studio.
And I know. I wonder if these were old songs that were written. I mean, they're credited to Jagger, Richards, and then Wood is credited like on 1, 2, 4 of these songs.
Was Charlie Watts having his heroin problems then, or was that earlier?
I don't know.
Because they had to rescue him out of, you know, death's door or something.
It's so funny. Like Charlie Watts, you look at that guy, he just looks like a banker. He doesn't really have a heroin problem. All right, I picked the title track, Dirty Work.
Some loser, find some jerk.
Yeah, so yeah, that's another one I liked.
Yeah, I like that one.
It was rocking.
Keith sings two songs on here, and one of them is...
I brought one.
Which one did you bring?
Well, I like to... I always like to throw Keith a bone here whenever he's
singing.
Which
one did you bring?
I brought the reggae cover.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Too rude. Yeah, there's two covers on this album.
Yeah.
10 songs,
Harlem Shuffle and this one. That's what I mean. I think they slapped it together.
Too rude.
The record company could have been happy. But, yeah, this is... And you know, none of the other guys were there when they did that. And this is the time he had a house in Jamaica, and that's when Peter Tosh came in and kidnapped his house and took it over. And he couldn't kick him out. That's a great story.
I would say of the 10 songs on here, I if push comes to shove, I do really like 5 of them. So, but that's bad. That's 50%.
Yeah.
I like One Hit to the Body. I like Fight. I like Winning Ugly.
You like Winning Ugly? I brought that as one as like an 80s mistake.
Dirty Work, Had It With You. Yeah, maybe not Winning Ugly. I mean, I would even listen to Harlem Shuffle over a couple of these.
I would not. I hate Harlem Shuffle. That is my one of my least favorite Stones.
That is a bone of contention in my house. Okay, what, you got one more for us? Or
I brought Winning Ugly as an example of like how 80s.
All right, let's hear it. Let's watch Kyle's face.
Not a good one.
Damn the competition.
Now listen to this and imagine like Huey Lewis doing it.
It's a top 10 hit. I wrap my conscience up. I wanna win that call, forget that money, baby. But back in the dressing room, the other side is weeping.
Oh, there's a guitar. I mean, the backup singers and the
all right.
Hey, you're right. If that were a Huey Lewis
that was,
song.
Yeah,
that
Huey
would
great. Probably would have, you know, done well with that one.
That's a huge hit for Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
All right, let's move
that's
on.
That's also the theme of Ghostbusters 2. Right. That were a Huey Lewis song.
Now, I think this next album is when Keith gets really fucking pissed. Because now Mick goes... There's
a second solo
album. I don't think they don't tour with Dirty Work either.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I know they didn't.
Well, they couldn't stand each other.
Yeah, they did not tour with Dirty Work. So Mick goes off and does another solo album.
Primitive Cool.
Primitive Cool. Kyle, tell
us. Which does, I'm not a, worse than She's the Boss,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. It only goes to number 41 on the charts.
Ooh, loosen the collar. Ooh.
What do you think of that album cover, Kyle?
That looks like he picked a drawing up off the street. Like someone was like, doodling while they were on the phone and then just kind of tossed it away. And he was like, this is amazing.
Like it's horrible. Yeah, the cover's horrible. Yeah.
It's just like a shitty drawing of like, is it
big
him?
Lips?
It's him.
Yeah,
it's
with
him.
Like giant ears.
He's holding a jewel?
Yeah, he looks like a...
It's really bad.
Yeah, I know. Like he looks like he's a creature. I don't know. It's stupid.
He works with David Stewart, his co-producer on some of these songs from Eurythmics.
Mm-hmm.
And
was it around this time he did the Dancing in the Street with David Bowie? What year was that? Because Primitive Cool came out in 87.
When was Live Aid? What I think was before 87.
Because that was, I mean,
when was Live Aid?
He's just making mistakes all
and he
over
does
the place.
And he does the. You didn't bring. Did you bring the Ruthless People song?
I did. I did do that, and that was actually before Dirty Work, I think.
Oh, why didn't you throw it in there?
Well, you just moved right along.
Sorry, you can stop me. You're a co-host.
That's okay. Hang on. But Ruthless People as a song is not that memorable.
85 was Dancing.
So 85 was, so he's making
that.
All these mistakes.
He's making all these mistakes. But let's hear Ruthless People then.
Okay, Ruthless People I brought. I mean, have you seen the movie lately? It's
not
great.
Lately. Is it still great?
It's fun. I mean, the fashions are all...
I remember loving it, but in my head, I'm like, I bet it doesn't hold up. But you're saying yes.
I think the cast is great. Bill Pullman is hysterical.
He plays a dumb guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And amazingly. It's just very funny. And Judge Reinhold's in
Danny
it.
It's DeVito. Good.
Danny DeVito's hilarious.
Judge
Bette Midler.
Judge Reinhold play a dumb guy?
But Bette Midler, and it's a great movie.
All right, I'm going to have to watch it.
It's a funny movie, folks, if you want to go.
Have you ever seen it, Kyle?
No.
It's worth checking out.
Okay, let's get it and watch it.
It's worth seeing. Greedy and ever so clever. This plays over the opening credits. Give it.
animated credits?
Yeah.
Don't mind that song. Better than State of Shock.
I would do want to see the movie again. It's pretty funny.
I'm gonna have to. We're going to see it. Mm-hmm. That, and we still keep threatening to watch Dr. Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
Which is terrible. I'm the doctor, Ma. Does this horrible accent. All right.
Do you remember that scene where Danny DeVito's taking a meeting? The phone rings.
Oh, tell me. I do remember.
He goes, hello. And he picks it up. He goes, Debbie? Oh, no. Debbie can't come to the phone right now. She's sucking my dick. And he hangs the phone up and he just goes, I love wrong numbers.
Okay.
That kills me.
I'm gonna
Ruthless people.
I'll kick off the album called Primitive Cool with the song that opens the album. And I love this song. This is called Throwaway. It is not a throwaway.
It's about the album.
I brought this one too.
I play the fool, I play the clown. I'm an AIDS lover when I come to town. It's a fashion, it's a buyer's mark. To bust it up before it's really started. I'm incurably romantic. If you leave me, I'll go frantic with cheap champagne. Brief affairs, backstage love.
That one I didn't mind, and I brought that one too. Did he have the same amount of guest musicians?
Not as many, but he did Jeff Beck again, and he has Omar Hakim on drums, and Greg Filganis on keyboards, Simon Phillips on drums, G.E. Smith on guitar. This seems like a more focused, not as much of a star-studded. Maybe he wanted to make not as much of a star-studded one-off.
Like maybe he was hoping to put together an actual band.
Yeah. And he did do some dates. He did do a few dates.
Did he tour behind these?
Just a few sporadic dates.
Right.
Yeah.
Did he do some TV stuff too? Maybe did he go on SNL or something like that?
He probably performed. I'm sure he did.
Yeah, but these albums just got forgotten on the bin.
Yeah, I really.
How did this sell again?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, I'll look it up while you play your song.
Okay. I brought.
Hold on real quick. West Anthony tweeted at us and said, I have an SM7B. They're superb.
Hey.
So thanks, West.
Thank you, Wes. West.
West Anthony.
West Anthony will be here this Friday, which will be a couple weeks ago.
By the and then he'll go, oh, you have these?
Oh. All right, I brought Shoot Off Your Mouth.
She's the Boss went platinum. This one did not go gold.
Ooh, didn't even go gold?
No.
Ooh, Mick. No. Ooh, ooh. This is Shoot Off Your Mouth.
I guess I never read the sign. Right at the moment that you saw my hand first slip. Just like a dirty rat, you jumped and sink your ship. So I keep on looking for me. Once I was off, but now I'm found. Church, right in my favorite seat. Now you're waiting up to my gun. Now you're waiting up to my gun. Who are you to shoot
up
your mouth?
I don't know if that was aimed at Keith.
Keith, maybe.
I was...
I brought that one too. So those are the two we brought. We both brought.
We both like the same ones.
I do like other songs in this. And I really think if you take She's the Boss and Primitive Cool and pick the five best tracks off both, I think you get an album that you like.
Yeah.
But his next two solo albums are far superior and actually fantastic.
The 90s ones.
Well, Wandering Spirit was in the 90s and then Goddess in the Doorway was 2001. And I really think those are really great records.
I think there was a lot of pressure on him back then to do it, and he started to feel it. And I think when this didn't sell, that was like, boy, maybe it's a little tough to do this on your own.
Yeah.
And maybe Keith does add something.
Yeah, maybe I'm taking Keith for granted.
Yeah, yeah, it also could be too, like, he would wait till he had enough material.
Yeah.
To like, rather than being like, I gotta sit and write 10 songs.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, I have 10 songs.
Right.
Was it a 2-album deal that he had, or did they
with
just
Columbia? I think he must have
cut him
two
after
albums.
This one when this one didn't sell.
Well, that's a good. And after Dirty Work just underperformed, who knows?
Yeah, maybe they thought that, yeah, this, I mean, if you're in the boardroom and you're looking at what's out there now the Police are the biggest things, yeah, that were, well, they had already broken up. But they, you know, yeah, what I mean? It's a different landscape.
Different thing, yeah.
And you're going, maybe the Stones are done.
Maybe they're done. Yeah. Now he forces Keith's hand. Keith now has to make a solo album.
Exactly.
Because Keith.
Did he have to, or did he just went?
I think they're not talking at this point. Yeah. He just has, you know, I guess if you write and record music, you have to get it out there. So he makes,
But I think Keith, as not being a front man, there's less pressure on him.
Yeah.
Because this is kind of like an easy, like a rock and blues album. He, yeah, knew, he went with what he knows. Wasn't trying to be a pop star.
People are going to be forgiving too, because they're going to be like, well, Keith isn't the front guy. So if it's even passable, it'll be cool. And he writes all the songs with Steve Jordan. And he's actually puts together a band, Charlie Drayton, Steve Jordan, Waddy Wachtel, and I think they're called the Expensive Winos.
Yeah. He talked about this in his book. He just gathered a bunch of guys that he liked.
Like he liked hanging out with.
Yeah. And just,
which used to be the Stones.
Yeah, right.
I think that's part of it too. Cause like Mix is like all over the place.
Yeah. Guest, it's stars just a here star there, studded
so it's
event.
Just like, mm-hmm, not.
And these guys like probably worked it out and jammed in the studio and then recorded.
And also if you're the lead singer and you're the first one to leave to make a solo album, it better be, you know, there's a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't hit, then you look like the guy who broke up the band.
And it has to be different from what you normally do with the band, too. It has to be, because
then what's
otherwise,
the point of doing
what's
it?
What's the point? Like Steve Perry's solo album, Street Talk, is very in the vein of Sam Cooke type stuff for a lot of those songs. And it kind of, if it just sounds like Journey, then why isn't it a Journey album?
If he's going to have some guitarist do noodling on every song, what's the point?
So the album we're talking about is called Talk Is Cheap. I think everything on this album is aimed at Mick.
Yeah. Is this 88?
This is 1988.
Yeah.
And the first song I have off this one was the single, and it's Take It So Hard.
Yeah, I brought that one too. That's good.
Now, this is interesting. On the album, Steve Jordan is the drummer and Charlie Drayton is the bass player.
Mm-hmm.
But on this song, Jordan plays bass and Drayton plays the drums. They switch it up.
It's a nimble rhythm section.
It is.
Is that like that song?
And I'm jealous because I can't play one of them. What's the next one you brought?
I brought one. He's obviously going back to his 50s rockabilly roots and probably wanted to steal some Stray Cat's thunder.
Okay.
This is I Could Have Stood You Up.
Oh, this is a great tune.
Fun.
Yeah,
just having fun.
A lot of these songs are I know that You Don't Move Me is definitely,
I brought that one,
Mick.
That's,
and I didn't bring that up, so but I'll play my next one. I have How I Wish. This kicks off side two.
I know.
I like that one.
I really like Steve Jordan's drumming.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, I have to point out that Mick Taylor played guitar on the last song you played. I could have stood you up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what it says.
He's just hanging out. Just hanging out. He's making an album.
We'll get my old mate Mick Taylor to come.
I got to play that one that slams Mick. The You Don't Move Me.
You Don't Move Me. Let's hear it.
This one's obvious. So, who's that you? Now you want to roll the dice. You already crapped out twice with your two solo albums.
Yep. All right, here we go. We're wrapping up the 80s.
Yeah.
They finally not only get together as a band, they work out all their differences.
I wonder what, I think maybe Mick realized it's a little lonely out there alone, and they'll never fill a stadium.
No.
Without each other.
No.
You know, it's like,
and I think Keith would be fine with that. I think Keith would be
clubs
fine playing
and
clubs.
Just,
but Mick needs... Mick's the guy that runs from center field to left field to right field. He needs all that. So they get back together and they're still
with a great album.
With a great album, Steel Wheels. And this is a massive tour because it's the first time they've toured since I think Tattoo You. I think 8 years from touring.
And this is the last thing Bill Wyman does with them, right? I think this is it.
And it's so funny. When Bill Wyman retires, I think, oh, the Stones have got a couple years left. No.
Yeah.
they've been doing it now. What's how many years is it since 89? 30 years? Is it 30?
He did two studio tracks for 1991's Flashpoint.
Yeah.
That was the last
but
thing.
But he's been retired from the Stones for 28 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're still doing it.
Wow. And he's got to be 80, right? Now, I think, almost.
I can find that out really quickly by clicking on this name, Bill.
Because he was
81.
The oldest. He's 81.
He's 81. But he's still alive, so I mean, he could still be... For all intents and purposes, the bass player doesn't run around.
Yeah, but he had just spent like the last 8 years at this point watching the two main guys just fight back and forth.
Fuck
and,
around.
Hey, are we working? No. How about now? No.
No.
Are we okay?
You guys gonna?
He continues to tour with the Rhythm Kings.
Yeah, no one's seeing that. Well, in tour, he plays UK shows. He doesn't come here.
No.
And would I go see that if he came here?
I wouldn't.
He's at the Baked Potato.
He didn't do anything with the Stones. He stood back there and didn't move.
He sings one song, and it's on Satanic Majesty's Request. And
yeah,
it's awful.
They were all on LSD.
Terrible. All right, I'm going to kick. I do love this album. It's got an 80s production to it for sure. And they worked with Chris Kimsey again and the Glimmer Twins. We didn't say Steve Lillywhite actually was the co-producer of Dirty Work. He didn't bring anything to the table.
Oh, no.
He couldn't. I mean, he's a great producer, and he just couldn't get anything going. But I'm going to play the opening track, kicks off the album. This is Sad, Sad, Sad.
Yeah, I brought this one.
This is a great one.
That's a good song.
And this album goes double platinum in the US, but it sells big all over the world.
And I remember the tour being really massive. I wanted to go see it and I didn't for whatever reason at that time.
Yeah, I didn't see the tour either. I didn't see them till, well,
yeah, I think it was in college and broke. Maybe that's why I didn't.
Yeah. What do you think of that album cover, Kyle?
I like that album cover. It's cool. It's like artsy, like kind of pop art.
Those are wheels, obviously. Yeah. They could be wheels on a train. They could actually be vinyl spinning. It's a lot of
cool
interpretation. So yeah, I like it too.
And I brought the one that the people think this is kind of their understanding song. This is when they realized they were both kind of, you know, jerks to each other. This is Mixed Emotions.
Love it. I brought that too.
Button your lip, baby. Button your coat.
Great tune.
I love that song so much.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What's he say? Let's get off the fence. It's hurting my butt or something. I mean, but it's great.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to play. I'm going to go with a song that was, I guess, originally written for Keith's solo album. I guess they ran through it a bunch of times. It just wasn't working. Steve Jordan gets a co-writing credit with Mick and Keith. And this is a ballad. This is Almost Hear You Sigh.
I can almost hear you sigh. I can almost hear you cry. On every crowded street. All the places we would make. What'll I do without ya? To say the life goes on. I'm feeling sorry for myself. Can't believe you're gone. And you acted much too calm. Turned on all the charm. You had a cold look in your eye.
I can't imagine Keith tackling that one,
yeah,
vocally.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I did bring a I got two left. Okay. I brought a Keith song and then I brought some weirdness. Should we give some weirdness?
What's your Keith song?
I brought Can't Be Seen.
Okay, I did too, so you can play those both.
Okay, and you have a play out
I have a play out song.
Okay, well, let's give Keith a little love since he wrote that one.
Yeah, I just can't be seen with you. This is a great tune.
Yeah. I wonder if that was on his plan for another solo album or was going to be on.
Maybe. Yeah. But that's the thing. Keith doesn't hold his song back.
No.
He brings it to the table.
Yeah.
All right. And the last one you brought off this album is
this
weirdness?
Is some weirdness. I don't know what they were thinking here. Maybe they were looking at U2 at the time and going, they got a lot of different sounds and things, you know, I don't know. This is like an Indian kind of.
Can I get, is it Continental Drift?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't get it. This one, but. This is for a Bollywood soundtrack or something. Did you hear the snake coming out of the basket when that was happening?
And Keith also sings a song called Slipping Away, which closes the album. And it's fantastic.
Yeah. I can guarantee you that one was not on Keith's solo project.
I can listen to this whole entire album top to bottom. It has 12 songs, and I do like every single song.
I do skip the drift, Continental Drift there.
Yeah, even though it's weird. So
that's a speed bump.
I'll let it play out.
Really? You will? Okay.
But 12 songs, if you have a speed bump, it's for me, it's still a 10.
I know, but that was a five-minute speed bump.
That is a long speed bump.
A three-minute speed bump I can sit through sometimes.
All right, so that's it. We got through the Stones in the 80s. How long was this episode? It's
an hour, 27 minutes.
Look at that. That's fantastic.
I don't mess around when I come in here.
No, well, I said, when we're recording two today, I like to keep it at 90 each because you're investing a lot of time with this, and we appreciate you being here.
No, it's fun.
People love the chemistry between the Mike Siegel and the Kyle and the Pat.
Well, the good thing is we've known each other for 28 years, and there's nothing to talk about at this point other than the music.
I've known Kyle all his life, which is how long, Kyle?
28 years.
I've known both of you 28 years.
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
So the last song, our playout song, again, Mike, we know you from the Travel Tales podcast.
Travel Tales podcast and Funny Mike on Twitter and Travel Tales Pod on Twitter.
We also know you from Bombing on the Boats.
That's true.
No, is it getting better?
Better. The shows are getting better.
You're in a groove where you're like, I can do this
now. I get it now, yeah. I get it. It took a while.
Now,
and unfortunately, I was seen by a bunch of other lines before I was, got a handle on it.
Do you feel like you're not being true to yourself?
Oh, yeah. Whoring myself? Or, yes.
Because it's a different muscle.
It's a different muscle.
It is. You're putting on a show. Yeah, and you have to realize that they're not there to see
you.
Comedy. No. They're there to...
You're almost like a warm-up for an hour.
You know, you're a distraction for 45 minutes. And, you know, it's... The guy told me, you can't think about them getting up and leaving during, because you don't know why they're getting up and leaving. They didn't pay to come see me.
Right.
So they might have dinner plans. They might be going to the trivia contest. They might be going to gamble.
There's constant,
or they're old and tired and got to go to bed.
So there's constant motion in.
Yeah, you got to let it go.
Well, the whole boat is moving.
So you can't comment on that. Kyle, the whole boat is moving.
Some nights it is the whole boat moving back and forth. But so you have to let it go if they get up and leave. Like in a club, you would go, hey, where the hell are you going?
Yeah.
And so you would take it personally.
Yeah, and you would point it out. Hey, yeah. Where are you leaving?
Here you can't. You just got to let them go.
Do you get jazzed up though when you get laughs?
Sure. It's great. I mean, because it is a big, beautiful theater. Yeah. I mean, and some of them are 1,000 seats. And if it's full, it's great. But also in a 1,000 seat theater, if it's half full, it looks empty.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And they don't seat them. So nobody wants to sit next to each other. Some people, there's a balcony and you can't even see them. That's when it sucks.
Yeah, it's weird how, like, if it's a concert, people want to be as close as possible. If it's a movie or comedy, people
don't. They're afraid of being picked on.
People
they don't want to
be there.
Yeah, they don't.
It's strange.
Or if there's a child, that's awful.
Twitter, at Funny Mike.
Yeah.
Travel Tales does not have its own Twitter.
Travel Tales Pod on Twitter. It couldn't fit podcast on Twitter.
Well, yeah, we're at Rock Solid Show.
Yeah, so Kyle, both.
You're at Kyle Dotson Funny.
Mm-hmm.
We are at Rock Solid Show. And when I asked people to send some Stone songs for this, two guys recommended the same one. We didn't play it.
It's
a great one. Michael Bagford and Brad Samashima. I hope I said that right, Brad. Brad Samashima and Michael Bagford both wanted to hear Waiting on a Friend. Tattoo You. So let's hear that. Kyle, thank you. Mike, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
See you guys later.
Watching girls and bats and bats.